Our first reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 23. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same. And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the Gospel of John, the 18th chapter, beginning at verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing that all would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They'd answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go. This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? So the band of soldiers and their captain, the officers of the Jews, arrested Jesus and bound him. This is the word of the Lord. Reading from John chapter 18, beginning at verse 19. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said. When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, is that how you answer the high priest? Jesus answered him, if what I said is wrong, bear witness to the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me? Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, you also are not one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? They answered him, if this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you. Pilate said to them, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. The Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken, to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation, the chief priests, have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Reading again from the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter, beginning at verse 6. When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him. Crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. All the words I shall now be speaking are from the Holy Scriptures. But the words of Jesus Christ on the cross are spread out throughout all the Gospels. So this is a harmonized accounting of Jesus' words, beginning with, "Father, forgive them." Reading selections from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened it to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write 'The King of the Jews,' but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. And after tasting it, he refused to drink it. It was the third hour when they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross, if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into 4 shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. As I noted at the very beginning of this reading, or series of readings, the words of our Lord from the cross are scattered throughout the Gospels. Three of them are found in the Gospel according to St. John and aren't found anywhere else in the other Gospels. Three of them are recorded in the Gospel of Luke, and likewise, those three aren't found in any of the other Gospels. There's only one phrase that occurs in more than one gospel. And that will be the next words we will hear Jesus speaking from the cross. And unlike the other words that are recorded for us in the gospels, they're not only written down in Holy Scripture in the Greek language, which was the somewhat universal language of that era. They were also recorded in the language that Jesus himself would have been speaking normally, in the Aramaic, in his original tongue. They go like this: Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? The fact that Jesus utters such words is one of the greatest mysteries of the incarnation. How could Jesus not know why he was there? Just a little while earlier, he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane that this cup, this suffering, might pass from him. And it's almost like he's acting surprised that his suffering is so complete on the cross. His words reflect the mystery of the incarnation. That at one and the same time, Jesus, our Lord, is fully God, yet also fully man. As God, for instance, he has complete power over everything. I remember when I was a young man in high school, I had an atheist friend that I would visit with occasionally with regard to religion. And he would sometimes kid and taunt me, trying to make my faith look a little foolish. If I would talk about God being all-powerful, he would ask me questions like, "Oh, he's all powerful? He can do anything?" And I would respond, "Well, yes." And then he would ask me Well, can he make something so big that he can't lift it up? I simply dismissed the question as an oxymoron, something that was self-contradictory, something that was illogical. But years later, when I thought about that question and was considering the crucifixion of our Lord, I realized that God could even do that. He made an object that was too big for him to lift. It was called the cross. As we read earlier, as Jesus was being taken to his crucifixion, they had to find somebody else to carry his cross for him. Simon of Cyrene. How can God die and pay for the sins of the whole world and take our place? God is immortal, eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. And yet joined to the person of Jesus Christ, who's both fully God and fully man, God partakes of death. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, while being fully God, was also fully and completely man. As God, he knows everything. But as man, he asks the question, why? Why all this pain and suffering? Why have you left me alone here? The question why is being asked a lot in our world today. As we consider the suffering and the pain that this pandemic has brought about, and not just physical suffering and pain, as we're separated one from another, not allowed to gather together in more than a group of 10, great feelings of aloneness overtake people. Those who are in hospitals and nursing homes can't be visited by friends and family. This very night, there are people perishing in hospitals, alone. Not because they don't have family, because their family isn't allowed to be there. Why? Why does God allow such things? A somewhat simplistic The true answer to that question is simply because sin is in this world. And when sin was brought into this world, it brought along with it death and pain and sadness and loneliness and all the other things that we hate about this life here. God hates it more than we do. But ultimately, he hasn't left us completely alone in that battle. Oh, at times it may seem like that. I mean, that's what we see with our eyes, what we hear with our ears, what we feel with our senses. But by faith, we know that there is another truth. A truth that is as firm and fast and fixed as any truth ever has been. It is a truth that is established by the resurrection of our Lord, which we'll be celebrating on Sunday morning. It is a truth guaranteed in the Word of God, sealed to us in our baptisms, and refreshed in things like the Lord's Supper and the continual hearing of God's word of promises. We know that ultimately for us there is a victory that will take place over sin and death and everything else that this world can throw against us. But if you're looking for earthly evidence of that, it's not to be found. It is something that we know only by faith. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? From all that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ could see, from all that he could feel, from all that he could hear, from any aspect of our human experience, he was alone. And in a mystery of mysteries, though he lives eternally in union with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, at that moment on the cross, he was alone. At least that's how he felt. But there are more words to hear from the cross. And in a little bit, the same Jesus who's asking God, why, will utter up these words, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Though he asked why, he still believed. When all earthly experience was speaking the contrary, he knew that he was still loved by his Father who was in heaven, who is not just the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but whom we also address as our Father who art in heaven. These are difficult times that we are going through. This night and the day soon to follow tell us that we are not alone in our struggles. God is with us. And one day God will deliver us from all of these earthly troubles and take us to be with himself in his kingdom, where we will serve him in everlasting righteousness and innocence and blessedness, even as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and lives through all eternity. As Jesus was placed on trial, Pilate asked, what is truth? My dear friends, as Luther once said in his explanation of the creeds, this is most certainly true. Amen. From Luke 23 and Matthew, it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Knowing that all was now completed and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I thirst. A jar of wine vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. The rest said, Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, It is finished. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. With that he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, Surely he was the Son of God. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. And when they came to Jesus and found out that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth. He testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. And all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place. They beat their breasts and went away. And all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things.